Wonderful song. Take your Bible, please, tonight, if you would, and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13. The book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13 in your Bible tonight. I was hoping they would sing the old Rugged Cross to the tune of that other song. Amen. I'm just honored enough to want to hear that. Amen. And can you be a preacher and be ornery at the same time? I don't know, but it fits me to a T. Amen. Praise the Lord. We sang that old Rugged Cross song in the nursing home in Bethany this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing. Those dear folks, they didn't have a songbook, and some of them didn't even know their name, and they didn't even know where they were, some of them. But they knew the old Rugged Cross. Amen. Amen. And that was a blessing this morning. All right. I'm going to preach on an interesting subject tonight, and one that also I think is very important for us to know something about tonight. It's a little bit different tonight, but I want to speak on the subject of special revelation. Special revelation. You say, what is special revelation? Well, you're fixing to find out, all right? And we're going to speak on that subject tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse number 8. And follow along, please, tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8 is where we'll begin tonight. Bible says here, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But verse 10 is a very clear verse, and I'll explain it later tonight. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we ask your help and your guidance tonight. As we open the Word tonight, we need you and desire to get something from the Lord tonight. And Lord, we pray that you just give us some nugget of truth, Lord, we can take with us in our lives. Lord, we're a needy people, and we just come to you tonight with our hand out, asking you for some bread. We know that, Lord, you provide that bread. So, Lord, meet our needs, and bless, Lord, we pray tonight, thy word as we look at it. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is special revelation? What is this? And this is a subject that I think is becoming more and more prevalent in society. And I think what you'll get the gist of what I'm teaching on tonight. But I think you'll understand. But special revelation, and it has different terms and different words, but special revelation is the claim that someone may have that God has directly given that individual some kind of direct command or some kind of direct scripture from God. Now, we see this in society today. We see people today that claim to have a prophecy from the Lord. Well, you know, most Christians don't maybe not really understand this or really understand what the biblical understanding is of some of this. And so I want to just give you some thoughts about this tonight, about special revelation to understand a scriptural picture of it. And so we're going to look at lots of scripture tonight. And so I hope you have your Bible ready on this subject. Now, just by way of introduction here tonight, I think I can give you a few examples of special revelation. For example, in the 1800s, a man named Joseph Smith came on the scene. And really, Joseph Smith was the founder of the Mormons. And Joseph Smith claimed that the Book of Mormon was given him by an angel specially to him, and that that book, now Mormons hold the Book of Mormon in equal value, inspired equally as with the Bible. Also, another book called The Pearl of Great Price is a book that Mormons hold in equal esteem as being inspired equally with the Bible. And so Joseph Smith claimed that he had special revelation from God, that God had given him these things, and that supposedly these things are from God. And it's something, and the danger is that many times when special revelation is given, it's expected that people are to believe that that special revelation occurred. So this is what we're talking about tonight. Now, we have also going on today modern day prophets or prophecies. And it's different. And you're going to hear about this if you haven't already. Someone will get up and say, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. I was out in the parking lot one day several years ago. I think I was watering the flowers or doing something over here. In the parking lot, and the lady pulled up, and she had previously gone to this church many years before that, and she told me this. She said, God told me to divorce my husband and marry this other man. And she was as convinced as could be. And so what she was saying is that I have special revelation from God to do this, and that it's okay because God told me to do this. Well, I think we ought to understand what Scripture teaches about this subject so that we understand things from the biblical understanding of what's going on here. So we're going to look at Scripture tonight. We're going to look at some things also. Now, I want you to notice here, go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Go over to 1 Peter and chapter number 1. We're going to look at there. Here it's something in this passage of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 18. 2 Peter 1, verse 18. Now, notice what it says here. It says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So God is talking about Jesus here, right? And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now notice verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. So notice Scripture teaches that there's something more sure than a prophecy. You see that? You understand what that is? And he says here, going on, verse 19, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. Well, if we're supposed to take heed to this, then we ought to know what it is, right? I mean, if God said take heed to something and you don't know what that something is, that's confusing, right? So I want to tell you tonight, he's talking about Scripture. He's talking about the Bible, the Word of God. He's saying we have something that is more sure than a prophecy or somebody writing something in the sky or some person who claims to have some kind of special revelation from God. So God is saying there is a way to sift all that out and understand that we have something more sure than that. And what's more sure than that is the Word of God. And the Word of God is more important to be trusted. And notice he said, take heed unto it, because the Word of God is more to be trusted than any prophecy, any special revelation that comes along or is claimed in the day in which we live. All right. So Let me explain some things here. First of all, God did give special revelation to many of the writers of Scripture. Did you know that? God did do that. He gave special revelation to Moses, and Moses wrote the first five books of the New Testament. That's how it got here. God gave Moses a special revelation. Okay, same with all the other writers of the book. They were inspired by God, and God gave these writers a special revelation from God. All of the books of the Bible written by all the different authors were inspired by God, okay? So the question isn't whether God gives special revelation, because he did. That's how we got our Bible, amen? The question is, do we have special revelation today in the time in which we live? Now, let me clarify one more thing. We know that God does also speak to us, doesn't he? We know that God speaks to the heart of man. If you're saved here tonight, it's a picture that God spoke to you at one point in time. God showed you your need to be saved. God told you you're lost, put you under conviction, and you trusted Christ. And you're saved here tonight because God did speak his word to you. So we understand that God does speak to man, but that is different than special revelation, okay? Now, we also know that God gives comfort to the brokenhearted. When you're hurting or brokenhearted, God comes and gives comfort to your heart and speaks special comfort. So we understand that God does speak to the heart. He convicts us. He comforts us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us warning. And he gives us impetus to do his will when he speaks to our heart of man. So when God speaks to the heart of man, he is not giving special revelation. That's different. God speaks to man, and special revelation is a whole different thing. And we'll try to define it a little bit better here for you as it goes on. So number one, we know that God does speak to man's heart. Number two, God does give special revelation or prophecies that he has given. Number three, there is a scriptural danger, though, with someone saying, God spoke thus and such to me, and it turned out to be false. There's a scriptural danger there. Is it possible for this to occur? Well, you remember back in the Old Testament, the false prophets would speak, wouldn't they? And they weren't speaking from God. They weren't speaking from special revelation. They were speaking of their own will. And their own will was what they were saying, but yet they were saying it came from God. And you know, there's a great danger in doing that, and we're going to look at some scripture about that here in just a little bit. So there's a danger in this. Number four, God does not speak in contradiction to his word. God never speaks in contradiction to his word. God cannot deny himself, scripture teaches. God cannot say one thing and then go against it. He's perfect. He's holy. Amen? Now, I've seen people have told me before, oh, there's a contradiction in the Bible. And the truth is, if you really study out that particular contradiction, you'll find out it's really not a contradiction at all. Right. It's the understanding of the passage that we lack, not a contradiction of the Bible being revealed. So we understand here that God does speak, but there is a danger of this. Now, I mentioned earlier that the prophets of God were given special revelation by God. But did you know they had some kind, there were some requirements, let me call it that, some requirements that a prophet needed to have in order for the special revelation from God to be given to him and brought to the people. So I want you to look at scripture on this one and notice, if you would, first of all, number one, a true prophet never tailored the message to cater to the desires of the people. A true prophet never tailored the message to cater to the desires of people. Now, we're not going to look at that, but I want to give you scripture. That's Jeremiah 8, verse 11, and Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 10. So that's your homework for the week. You can look at that. All right. Now, secondly, notice, a true prophet would never consult sorcery, astrology, or divination. A true prophet would never consult those, according to Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24, and Micah chapter 3 and verse 7. All right. Number three, a true prophet maintained personal integrity, holiness, and character. We see that in Isaiah 28, verse 7, Jeremiah 23, verse 11, and Hosea chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. All right. Number four, a true prophet was willing to suffer for the sake of the message. In other words, if he stood by his message because he knew it was from God. And we see that in the Old Testament, there were prophets thrown in prison for the very fact that they had true special revelation from God. They gave to the king. The king didn't like it. Boom, you go to prison. But they stood by the message because they knew that it was from God. Okay, now we're going to look at some scripture. Number five, a true prophet had 100% success rate regarding his prophecies. A true prophet had 100% success rate regarding his prophecies. Now, take your Bible. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter number 18. And I want you to notice scripture here. And these are, of course, the law of God. God gave this to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And look at verse number 18. Deuteronomy 18, 18. Notice the Lord says here, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I command him. Now that's special revelation, okay? Verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So notice the seriousness that God holds on the prophet for proclaiming the truth if he truly was received a special revelation from God. All right? If that were carried out today, I think a lot of these modern day prophecies would be quiet. Amen? Amen? I think it'd be a change in some of that. Okay, verse 21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? That's a good question, isn't it? And you know, there's a lot of people that ask that same question. How do we know that the Lord really spoke that or not to them? That's a good question, isn't it? Verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So you see, if his success rate of special revelation is 100%, then the Bible's saying He's of God. He's of God. And can I tell you, this, a lot of people hear these things today and hear prophecies. And can I tell you, there's a lot of the charismatic movement is deep into a lot of the prophecies. And a lot of them say, well, God spoke to me. God said this. Well, wait a minute. If what God said to you is really true, then it will come to pass 100% of the time. So that's God's litmus test, so to speak. It's a litmus test to understand if that prophecy were actually true. Okay, number six. The prophets were also very careful not to speak a word that God did not say. So go to Deuteronomy 13, just a few chapters back here. Deuteronomy 13 and verse number 1. Okay, notice verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. Oh, wow. Do we have that today? Do dreams mean things? I had a dream on Monday night that I got on an airplane and the man sitting next to me had a full-grown alligator in his lap. I did. I dreamed that. He had a full-grown, and it was curled up and just going to sleep in his lap. Can you believe every dream that comes about? No, you certainly cannot. Okay, so God addresses dreamers. All right, verse 1. If there arise you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Ooh. And the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. Now notice something here. He's saying, if a dreamer says to you, okay, well, let's go and follow after these other gods because God told us to do that. God said, do not listen to that prophet. Now, this is one reason why we have the Bible. This is one reason why God gave us his written word. It's a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, if you hear something that, wow, he said this wonderful thing. Isn't it amazing? You better remember something. If it's not of a more sure word, and if it contradicts a more sure word, then you ought to discard it for a more sure word. And that is the understanding that God's given to the children of Israel, because there were false prophets at the time who claimed to come in the name of the Lord, but really were not. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So notice what he's saying. Fear the Lord, keep his commandments. How do we know what his commandments are? He gave us more sure word. Imagine if we didn't have the Bible, we'd walk out on our front lawn every day and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do today? You got to write it in the sky, or you got to send a television evangelist on channel 936. You got to tell him to come along and tell me what to do today. See, God chose not to do it that way. He chose to give us something more sure, something more dependable, more solid. You can go here and check it. Amen. When I was a kid in school, we were in ACE, and we had to check our own schoolwork. We'd do the page, and then we'd go up to the score key and do our own schoolwork, and that was the test of whether we got it right or not. Well, let me tell you something. This is the score key. Amen. The Word of God is God's score key. It is the litmus test for dreams, for emotion, for claimers of special revelation, prophecies. It is given to us to understand that it is more effective than all those things that come along. Amen. So the prophets were very careful not to speak a word that God did not speak. But a careless prophet would speak in a whim that was his own. And this is how they would identify the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. All right, let's go on here. Point number six. God wanted his word written down and preserved for all generations so that there would be no ambiguity of truth. Let me say that again. God wanted his word written down and preserved for all generations so there would be no ambiguity of truth. Now take your Bible and go with me to Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Are you still with me? Not too deep tonight, right? Okay, good. Revelation 22. Look at verse number 18. Last book of the Bible, almost the last phrase of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify that every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, notice God put his prophecy in a book. If any man shall add unto these things, special revelation that's not of God, right? If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Do you think God was serious? Do you think God was serious about his word? I'd say it's unequivocal. You couldn't change it, could you? So God is saying here, his word is powerful. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. Amen? Another passage, it says, not one jot or a tittle, which is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Don't take away a jot or a tittle of God's word. God put it all in there for our learning. And he did it so that there would be no ambiguity of truth. Amen? No ambiguity of truth. Now, a passage of scripture has one main context, but it does have different applications that can be applied. But do not take the application and say that's a special revelation from God, and the application becomes the truth. The truth is found in the context of the passage of scripture that God put and intended in his word. Okay, let's go on. You still with me? Okay, here we go. Number seven. So how did we get the word? Well, God used holy men of God to entrust his prophetic word. Now, take your Bible and go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Somebody stole 2 Peter out of my Bible here. You ever have that problem? There it is. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. Very, very important passage here in understanding this issue. Verse 20. Knowing this first. You think that's the first thing we ought to know? Okay, so God said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That makes sense, right? That means that I can't take Scripture the way I want to take it. I have to take it in the context that God put it. And thereby I find truth. But human nature is so skewed, we're so depraved that we'll want to take the goodies, right? I mean, we want to eat the dessert first. We take the good part first and discard God's word. But God's saying, here, know this first. This is the first thing to get. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So somebody comes along and says, oh, God told me this. I have a prophecy of the Scripture. Really? Are you sure about that? Do you know the penalty in the Old Testament of a prophet that was not a prophet who spoke the truth of God? That's a dangerous thing, isn't it? And it shows to me the level at which God holds his word. It shows the magnifying of his word, because his word is so much more important than any prophecy or feeling or emotion or dream or ideology that we could have, because it gives us solidity of the truth. It gives us a solidness in life. This old book will make you solid. You know? And you know, oftentimes I see a Christian who's caught up in the prophecies and God told me this and God told me that. They're so up and down. You know why? Because this book is less than the prophecies that they supposedly received from God. Now, again, let me clarify. God does speak to every Christian. We know God speaks to the heart, but not a special revelation anymore. And we're going to just sum up that whole understanding here in just a little bit. Okay, so go to look at verse 21. Notice it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Did Moses write what he wanted to write down? No, he didn't. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. How did it come? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wow. And then he goes on here, and according to chapter 2, and then he starts talking about false prophets here. So here's what he's trying to say, is that God took holy men of God and gave them his inspired word, special revelation, and they took God's word, wrote it down. It was not of their own will. It was not of their own mentality. It was God inspiring them to write down his holy word because they were holy men themselves. See, and so we have to understand these things, what God is saying. Now, where do many people who claim to have these dreams or claim to have a special revelation, where do they come from? I believe they come from the wrong spirits. There's different spirits out there. Now, take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 4. Not the book of John, but the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, towards the back of your Bible. The book of 1 John, chapter 4. Notice what it says here, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Okay, now we're supposed to try the spirits. What are we supposed to try the spirits by? Well, if you committed a crime and you went to court, the judge is going to open the law book. And he's going to say, right here, The law book is what delineates your punishment for this crime. It's in the book. That's why God gave us the book, the law book. That's why God gave us His Word, because His Word is the connection of understanding that we can't believe every spirit that's out there. There are many false spirits in this world. There are many lying spirits, and the Bible tells us that even the Antichrist, he's going to come someday, and he is going to deceive many by lying wonders, and people are going to be sucked up into this thing because they've not tried the spirits. But a real Christian, a saved Christian who has Christ in them, there should be a difference. And notice verse number 2. Notice what he said. He said, "Hereby know we the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Isn't that good? And do you know why that's a litmus test for the spirits? Because the false spirits hate the fact that Jesus is the Son of God come in the flesh. The false spirits despise that. They don't like that. They hate that. And so Jesus told us, but if you're a Christian, you're grateful and you're joyful because you know that the Spirit of God is true and real in your own heart. And, you know, when we read the Word of God, it connects with the Spirit of God in our heart. And when those two are working together in our heart and our life, it creates life in us. It creates life. And so God's saying, try the spirits. Not every spirit is of God. And where does it come from? Verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. So as time draws closer to where the Antichrist is coming, this spirit will become more prevalent. The false spirits, the false ideas, the crazy things that people believe today. I mean, crazy, a lot of things. And so the Lord Jesus is telling us here, this is a picture of the spirit of, hey, listen, the Antichrist is coming soon. When we see all these spirits proliferate in the world. And by the way, let me say this. A Christian can be influenced by the wrong spirits. And I believe there are a lot of so-called preachers and a lot of so-called prophecies that go on under the guise of the wrong spirit of God. And the wrong spirit of God is what influences and promotes this, because it goes against a more sure word of prophecy. Hey, if the Bible says it, but some prophet preacher says something different, I got news for you. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word of God. It's a more sure word. It creates solidity in you. It creates solidness. It creates faith. It creates faith deep in our mind and deep in our heart, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank God for it. It sends chills up my spine to know that what God did for us when He gave us His Word. So not every spirit should be listened to. Some are false. We're supposed to test the spirits by the Word of God. Dreams also are not to be trusted as methods of truth. We need something more sure than just a dream. I'll tell you what, all you got to do is eat pepperoni pizza about 11 o'clock at night, and you'll have some dreams. Amen? they're not all going to be true and real. But you'll definitely have some dreams. Amen? So dreams are not methods to be trusted. Next point, emotions are not to be trusted as solid methods of truth. You ever heard somebody say, I know my heart? No, you don't. You don't know your heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't know your heart. That's why you can't trust your emotion as a method of truth. Well, my heart will lead me to the truth. Your heart's going to lead you astray if you trust your heart. But here's how it works. God has given us His Word, and when His Word enters our heart, truth is revealed to the heart of mankind, and that is what causes men to be saved and hear the Word of God, and it is also what causes the false Christ or the false prophets to go away from God, even despite the fact that they may do lying wonders and amazing things. Yeah, the devil does have power. The devil does have some power on this earth. So we have to understand that dreams, emotions, they're not to be trusted as solid methods of truth. Emotions change. I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and I probably won't feel saved. You ever done that? You got up grumpy, you know, and your wife looked at you and said, you need to go back to bed. Right? You know? But man, you know, emotions change. Emotions go up and down. So they cannot be true tests of truth. Now, and by the way, also, let me say this. It is not lack of faith in God to distrust modern day people who claim to have special revelation from God. You know, it is not lack of faith to not believe these people. That's not lack of faith. The question is, what's your faith in? And really, who is your faith truly in? And the truth is, if you have to side with some prophecy that claims it is of God or Scripture, can I tell you, side with Scripture. Because God has preserved this Word through all generations, through all wars, through all anything that comes about, famines and anything that has come in this earth, God has preserved His Word so that we might have a genuine and a solid understanding of what is real and true in this world. Amen. And by the way, you are not missing something in your Christian life if you don't have any special revelations. You are not missing something in your Christian life if you don't have any special revelations. The only thing you may be missing is a greater susceptibility to be drawn away from the truth. That's probably the only thing you're missing. And so we have to understand what God has said and what God has done in His Word. Now, I'm going to close by going back to our text. So go back with me tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll look at a few things here and then we'll be done tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice verse number 8. Notice it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. God told us some of them are going to fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That word cease, I looked it up. It means come to an end. Come to an end. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So God's saying, all right, I'm going to take these things away. I'm taking prophecy away. I'm taking tongues away. I'm taking this visions of knowledge, that type of thing. God says, I'm taking that away. It's not going to last. It's going to cease. By the way, he didn't take charity away. Charity never faileth. Amen? But then notice verse 9, and this is a great culmination of understanding. He said, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, what is the only perfect thing that has ever come? Jesus. And he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you have the written Word in your hand, you have what God wanted you to have. He ceased all the others at some point in time, and he said, that which is in perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. He said, you don't need anything but this right here. I mean, you can go and put the fleece out all you want. Or you can go, you know, consult somebody who you think can tell you some deeper thing. But let me tell you something. God is trying to emphasize this point to us. This book is the answer for our life. And you say, well, by the way, you may not know where that answer is, but it's in there somewhere. Amen? It's in the Word somewhere. And so we have to have that kind of committed faith to the Word of God. Because if we have that kind of committed faith to the Word of God, then we understand that God reveals everything of truth, blessing, goodness, in his Word. And that it's God's truth is not housed in prophecies or tongues. God said they failed. They ceased. They passed away. But when that which is perfect is come, the written Word, that which is in part is done away. We have everything that God wants us to have. Amen. So can I tell you tonight, it is wise. It is wise to be skeptical about false prophecies and dreams and what somebody says that God told them. It is wise to be skeptical of those things. Because this right here, God's Word, God's book, the Bible that God gave us, is all that we need for our faith and our practice. And it will sift out all false spirits. It'll sift out all false prophets and prophecies. And it will remain as the solid strength of truth in our life. And you know what I think we ought to do? We ought to appreciate the Word of God all the more. Because God made something, he gave us something very solid to hold our faith to. I like to hold to something solid. You know, I don't like to hold on to sand. Sand, you grab, the more you grab in your hand, the more it sifts through your hands, the harder you grab it. But God didn't give us sand. He gave us a rock. He gave us the solid Word of God. So I say to you tonight, if God's words say it, if God's Word says it, we can trust it, we can hold to it. And we ought to put all our faith and all our committed faith into the Word of God because of the truth that God provided in it. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.